Well, here on the to join us as he does every Tuesday for his Live with the Jazz Cat show is the host of his show, Leroy Downs.
Oh, beautiful. Well, and today, you know, another beautiful guest. And that's right, he's got a brand new album out called Letters to Herbie, Mr. John Beasley.
Hey, Leroy, how you doing?
Very good, John. How are you?
All right, man. Thanks for
having
me.
You know, we were talking earlier and trying not to stress over the Lakers.
At this point, we don't have much to lose. We've already proved that we can kind of come back a little bit, you know, so we're a young team. This is really good for us, you know. Just like Phil Jackson says, you know, we're young enough and dumb enough to think we can do it. Maybe we can do it.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's talk about this good music of yours, man. A Letter to Herbie, and all of you out there should know that that letter was to Herbie Hancock. It's a brand new album from John Beasley. And tell us a little bit about the disc and how it came about.
Well, I've been talking with Resonance Records for a while, and they approached me with this concept of doing, you know, Herbie Hancock tunes. And me being a piano player, I was a little skeptical at first because there's not much you can do to improve on those original tunes, you know, in the way Herbie plays. I just felt like maybe I'd have a big bullseye on my back, right? But the more I thought of it and, you know, I was able to kind of mess around with some tunes before I committed myself, and I found a way to flip these songs and kind of make them my own and not feel so pressured to play like Herbie in a way. Not that I actually could, but, you know, with all due respect, you know, I wanted to make these my own, and I kind of felt like I found a way I could do that. And so I said, well, okay, let's go do it. And the record company was generous enough to fly in some of my friends from New York and make it happen, you know. So that's
well. When you talk about friends, man, you've got some of the best on here. Roy Hargrove, Jeff Tane Watts, Christian McBride. I mean, you can't really fail with you playing piano. That's kind of a win-win situation.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been in Christian's, in and out of Christian's bands for the last 10 or so years. I sub a lot for his regular pianist. And we used to play with Freddie Hubbard years and years ago. And then Jeff I knew, you know, when he was living in L.A., and we got a chance to play a fair amount. And then whenever I'm in New York, you know, we try to see each other and try to keep it up. And so I called in some favors from some friends, and they were kind enough to come in and play. And we all had such a great time recording it. You know, I think it really kind of comes off on the record as kind of a labor of love.
Well, you know, good times in music. I mean, that's what it's about, a happy time. In the studio, you know, there's food, there's family, there's friends, and there's lots of music. So if those are the combination of things that brought it all together, you know it has to turn out well.
Sure.
So George Klabin produced this disc.
Yeah, it's a new label. It's actually a 501c nonprofit jazz label, and he funded it, and he's been a recording engineer for a long time. He had a studio in New York called Sound Ideas, and got to record Dexter Gordon. I think he actually, you know, met Herbie Hancock back in the '60s, and they have a friendship going. So he's been around the music a long time, and he is like an angel. He's a jazz angel. He's trying to get the music out there, and because it's nonprofit, it kind of seems like a smart way to go these days, you know.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that there's a couple of tunes, Bedtime Story and Maiden Voyage, and you were able to discover a way to interlap those two tunes to kind of create a new vibe for the record.
Yeah, in fact, that was the song that I kind of like convinced myself that I wanted to do the record. I was actually doing a clinic in Utah last summer and kind of messing around with some Herbie tunes that I love, and so I started playing Tell Me Bedtime Story, and at the end of the tune, there's this there's this cadence of chords that go down and make the at the end of the song, and it's kind of it's very important to the tune, and they're cool sets of changes. So I was kind of playing over those, and then I kind of played the rhythm of Maiden Voyage with those chords. I thought, aha, okay, here's something here, and then I thought, well, is it too good to be true or what? You know, it was like, so the melody actually fit over the top of it. And I said, well, there we go, right there, you know. And then I put the bridge of Tell Me Bedtime Story and superimposed the melody of Maiden Voyage over these chords to Tell Me a Bedtime Story. That was the light bulb moment.
Yeah, man, new directions and old music sounding really good. You're listening to John Beasley right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat. I'm Leroy Downs on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. Well, playing with great cats is nothing new to you. I mean, many of these people these days, a lot of the younger students that are coming up and learning, don't have the opportunity to kind of get their education on the stage, which is how you did it. I mean, you played with someone you just mentioned a little earlier, Mr. Freddie Hubbard.
Yeah, you know, I kind of was lucky. I came kind of the tail end of, you know, gigs where you know, Joe Henderson had a band and Freddie had a band. Wayne Shorter was doing it, you know. Chick Corea had bands out there, and we got to work a lot, you know. And it was still kind of those times where you would go out for a month with these guys, 6 weeks, and play a week in every city. And it really made you strong, and, you know, you got taken to school every night, you know, by an intense individual who dedicated his life to the music and also the lifestyle and the camaraderie with the other musicians. And, you know, you practice together, you know, during the day, and, you know, try to play what you practiced that night on the gig. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't, but at least you were doing it in front of people with older musicians, you know, that would slap you down if it didn't turn out right, or, you know, give a firm guiding hand of maybe what to try next time, you know.
That was back in the day when there was no child abuse laws. Now they
you can't really do that in a school, can you?
The school cane on the knuckles. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, they served alcohol at this school too, you know.
What was that?
They served alcohol at the school I went to.
Oh man. Well, you know, we just hung out with Freddie Hubbard not too long ago, so I actually got a chance to see you with him. You didn't play with him, but you got a chance to hang out and see him. And Miles Davis was another great trumpet player who you got a chance to spend some time with.
Yeah, I was fortunate to spend about a year playing with Miles, where not only did I feel like I grew up as a musician, I feel like I grew up as a human being a lot. Watching what he went through just to get ready to do gigs at that point in his life, and his dedication and you know, creativity. And, you know, he was at a point in his life where, of course, he was a little bit more mellow than he was in the 60s and the 70s.
Right.
But he was really nurturing this young band he had, and still had a lot of the fire in him, but, you know, everything he said would be the truth, you know. He caught a lot of flack for that, but, you know, it was a great experience playing with Miles, for sure.
Well, when you speak the truth, you play the truth, so you know that the notes are real, and that's how we hear the music.
There you go. There you go. I think people can smell a rat, and they can hear a rat.
Yeah, they can. They can.
We have to start giving the public a little bit more more credit than we do at this point, you know, in the game, especially with, you know, with radio, and not necessarily jazz radio, but, you know, Clear Channel and all the, you know, focus groups and stuff. I think people know, I trust the public more than I think the businessmen do at this point.
Well, I'm glad that you do. For me, I want to trust the public. But I think the public has just fallen what they've given them for so long. So I like to present some different things to them so they can actually hear it. And I'm really hoping that they are.
Yeah, well, I agree with all that. That sounds like the truth.
John Beasley, right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Well, you played with all of these great players. I mean, how actually did that come about? Did they actually come to your gigs and say, hey, I like this piano player? Were there a lot of referrals going around from a lot of the younger musicians that were already in the band?
Yeah, well, you know, most of the gigs I get are, it's all kind of word of mouth. You know, you play a gig with somebody and they go, oh, yeah, man, you'd be good on this gig. Or, you know, you recommend somebody else, you know, the same way. You know, you're doing a gig and, wow, this cat plays great. He'd be great on Freddie Hubbard's gig or whatever. And with Freddie, Bob Shepherd, the tenor player, was with him for a long time, recommended. Billy Childs had just left. Billy had been with him for probably 8 years or so. And, you know, he's looking for different cats. And, in fact, my first gig was up in San Francisco. And just kind of stuck, you know. And with Miles, his nephew, I was playing in this band called Audio Mine with Vinny Caliuta and Steve Tavolone and Kerry Willis. Mm. And we had this weekly gig, you know, and cats would start coming in. And Miles' nephew, Vince Wilburn, who was playing drums with him, came in, and we became friends, and he said, man, why don't you just make me a tape, you know? Miles, we're not looking for anybody right now, but, you know, who knows, you know, I'll give the tape to Miles. And so I went in with my cassette machine, my little drum machine, and improvised over some loops and made a cassette for him, and that tells you how long ago it was.
Yeah, right.
And about 6 months later, he called my house, you know. Miles did, you know. I was like, are you sure? He said he wanted me to join his band. I said, are you sure? Are you sure you're really Miles Davis? You know, I was like, it's kind of like, you know. So that's how I got the gig, you know. It's one of those things, you know, where you make the demo and then you just forget about it because you think, well, I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to kind of put it out of my mind, you know.
Right.
I don't want to jinx it by thinking about it too much, you know.
Well, that's honor and respect, man. You get that call and it's on. That's got to be a beautiful phone call right there.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I had taped it like you. You would have taped it, all right.
I would have taped it. Well, not only do you play with, you know, the best in jazz music, but, I mean, you know, Queen Latifah is actually doing some jazz. You've played with her as well as James Brown.
Yeah, with Christian, actually.
Right.
Christian, James Brown did this great jazz record with the Louis Belson Orchestra and Oliver Nelson Charts in 1969. And it's a great record. He's singing jazz and soul, you know, with the big band. It's great. And so last summer, or summer before last, I guess,
yeah.
Christian, we recreated that record with James Brown at the Hollywood Bowl.
I was there.
So you were there.
Yes.
So we rehearsed, you know, 3 or 4 times during that week, and we were all excited. We were like little kids, and Mr. Brown came to rehearsals, and it was amazing, man. The band sounded pretty good, and then when he came to rehearsal, it just took it up a whole notch just by his singing alone, because he sings so in the pocket. You know, it was just like the band just got even tighter, and his whole, what was beautiful about it also was that this whole organization called each other, you know, Mr. Brown, Mr. Beasley, Mr. McBride, this whole band, this whole entourage, you know. It was so respectful. So to this day, you know, I try to, like, keep a little of that going, you know, when I'm around guys that I know that they could dig it in a way, you know. Like, for yeah. Now, me and Christian keep calling each other, you know, Mr. McBride, Mr. Beasley, you know, just to keep that tradition on. It was very sweet gig, and he passed away, I guess, about 4 months later.
Yeah, yeah. It was
and he looked great, man. I couldn't believe it, you know. He looked perfect health.
Well, you know, good players come and good players go, but the thing that they leave on this earth for all of us is beautiful jazz music and beautiful music altogether.
Well, he changed music, you know. He and Miles both basically changed music, which is a strong commitment right there.
Well, look, man, it's been great speaking with you, John. Tell me what's happening next for John Beasley, and are you touring with the album? Or
we've put together a great band. I've got a gig in the Bahamas, actually, coming up, and a couple gigs in New York. We're gonna do a tour probably in the fall with Buster Williams and Jeff Tane Watts. So we'll be around. You can buy the record at Amazon or basically any of your local record stores, if there are any left in your neighborhood. you can go to resonancerecords.org and download it from the site and learn about the nonprofit record label. And then you can actually reach me and drop me a line and order the record if you like at johnbeasley.net. I'd love to hear from everybody.
Oh, beautiful, man. John Beasley, the brand new album is out, and it's called Letter to Herbie. Wonderful artistry on there. The music is wonderful. It's just a well-rounded disc. John Beasley, hey, man, it's great talking to you.
Thank you, Leroy. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. John Beasley right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the Four Locals Only Show with Mr. Gary Hamada.
Thank you, gentlemen. As always, another stellar interview. And there's a lot of those types of interviews right there at the website for the Jazz Cat. And I direct you again to the Jazz Cat's website. That is www.thejazzcat.net. And you will find all the interviews archived, held exclusively here on the Four Locals Only Show on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. We're talking about artists that are on the rise as well as artists that are legends. We're talking about people like Ornette Coleman, Bobby Hutcherson, just some of the artists that are even on the Letter to Herbie, the new album by John Beasley, Christian McBride, Jeff Tane Watts, Roy Hargrove. I mean, these are the artists that you as a jazz fan would want to hear what they've got to say. And just go to the Jazz Cat's website and you'll hear these interviews. Very insightful and, as always, very interesting. So check it all out. And also, if you are inclined to do so, next time the Jazz Cat's in town, show up and be there and say hi. Hey, you know, I listen to you all the time and I really enjoy what you're doing and everything you do for jazz. I'm Gary Hamada. We'll be right back with more on the Four Locals Only Show on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio.